At that moment, Granny walks up because, you know, her dearest, beloved grandchild is...
Granny, the museum is closed! It's closed for a week, Granny!
Oh, no,
and she buries her face in Granny's jacket. These are genuine tears. She's not actually putting on this act.
No,
she's very, very sad.
And then, like, she, like, goes there, and then, like, turns over to the, what was it, a bounder?
The bounder,
It was, like, suddenly her facial expression, like, shifts from, like, you know, caring and sweet to, like, glaring knife eyes.
And
what
Ada,
did you say to my dear little coriander?
Well, it's not all I told her was the museum was closed, locked, you might say.
It's not her fault. It's not fair. It's just not fair. We came all this way, and I know we can't stay here for a week, and it's going to take a whole week for it to open. We can't stay that long. And then...
And then she turns back to Ada and she's like, is there no way we could just,
what if you were there with us the whole time? Could any bounders just come in with us to just look?
Oh no, the mayor wouldn't like that very much, I'm afraid.
The mayor for permission?
Well, you can try, but the mayor is... Well, the mayor's been a little bit busy. You see, he's been having an argument with the postmaster, which is awkward because he's the postmaster. So he's been having an argument with himself about whether or not he should raise stamp costs, you say. And, it's been a very difficult situation. So he said to all of us, no one gets in or out of that museum for at least another week. I don't want any more headaches. That's what he said. And then he slammed his door so hard that I could hear it rattle in the frame. That was difficult because, he's our boss, you understand? At this point, they recognize, sees you, Cal, and is like, do you know all of these people? Are you also related? Are you an assistant, apprentice?
He's my cousin.
Oh, wait, what is your actual relation?
He's your uncle.
He's my uncle.
Oh, he's your uncle. I see.
Just along for the ride as well. And trying to help out our friend, from Bree.
Did you all come from Bree or from Hobbiton?
Mm.
No, we met on the road. We were coming to see the museum specifically, and we met Titch on the road and thought that it would make sense for us to help because we knew the area better, but...
Well,
we just...
look, here. Let me just show you for yourselves. And she kind of, like, turns and waves you with her cudgel, the four of you, over to the door of the Matham House, and you can see on the front of it says RENO-VATIONS underway. We apologize for the inconvenience, and then - the management. And he says, Ada says, you see, there's not much I can do about it. It says right there, renovations underway. And, the mayor told us that it's really important that they not be disturbed. Because once it reopens, it's going to be spectacular. There's rumors that there might be jewels there, from what I've heard. But I can't say that for sure. All I know is that this place is, it's shut down for at least a week anyway, and as you can see for yourself, it's got locks and windows and trap doors, and those are locked too, and don't, you know, think that they're not, because they are. And there's no way that anyone gets in or out of that place, guarding the way, she says proudly.
Is the Matham House standalone, meaning not connected to any other buildings?
Correct.
Or is it kind of butted up against others?
No, it is standalone. And you can actually see when you're kind of looking at it, you'd have to like look around more closely, but that there are a number of windows. It's a two-story building, so there is presumably, you know, the roof sort of hangs down. It might be possible to get up onto the roof. It is standalone, but it does look as if it's theoretically accessible, although at the moment, again...
So,
yeah.
Cal's going to step in towards Ada. Is it Ada?
Ada, yes. Ada Burrows.
And he's going to say, just right. Forestall any kind of bout of crying. Would it be too much of a bother just to have a look around? Could you show us the outside, maybe, just to... satisfy her curiosity. Well, I know it's not anything like going on the inside, but I'm just, it's something anyway.
Well,
I would like to learn more about the architectural details about Mothman House. I have heard and read so many interesting things about it, but I had hoped that there would be a guide.
Let me have you make a persuasion check, and I think I'll have, I'm trying to decide if Cal, I think I'll have Cal do this, but Coriander's reaction probably would give you plus two to this check, Cal.
Okay.
And I'm assuming at the moment, I'm making this persuasion, not deception, because I get the impression you genuinely do want to see the outside of the house. For yeah. Why is different, but, you know.
Yeah, yeah, no, 100%.
Tetra's been slowly leaning towards the door. It's difficult to tell if he's falling asleep,
okay,
or if he's pressing his ear to the door to listen.
Okay,
but it could be either.
On the persuasion side, Cal. So we're looking at an 11 there, I think.
Yeah.
And so Yeda says, "You know, I'm not really supposed to be taking people outside and around. It's late for one thing, but even if it were during the day, we're not really supposed to be doing tours. It's not really my thing, you understand.
Is there someone in the town who is a tour guide that we could talk to? Or even someone who is usually, the interpreter of the museum who we might be able to talk to? I just wanted to learn more things.
If you want to talk to someone like that, that's Malva Slowfoot. She's the curator of the place, but at the moment she is very occupied with questions of renovations, and in fact may not even be in the town, at least not the town proper. But she'd be the person to speak to about the inside of that. There are other tour guides, of course. Well, we have one of them, Pod Whitfoot. He's also the mayor and also the postmaster and also the head of the message service. But as I said, he's had
so
a little bit of a
disagreement. I'm so sorry to interrupt. This is a very curious way of doing things. Are there not many people in Michelle Delving that one person must have so many different roles?
Oh, well, no. You understand that there's a lot of people here. But you see, the mayor, he's always quite able, and he's got a lot of interests. And the mayor sort of likes things to be done in a particular way, so if he just does all the major tasks, then he seldom has arguments with himself. I mean, except when with the postmaster. That's been a terrible argument with himself. But usually, he agrees with himself, and that makes it much easier to manage it. Streamlines the bureaucracy, you might say.
What was the dude's name again? Pod something?
Pod Whitfoot.
I have not yet really made any kind of very deep study of political systems, but it sort of sounds to me like that is less of a streamlining of bureaucracy and more of a sort of potential path to tyranny. But I actually don't know these things very well, so I'm probably mistaken. The last thing that I want is for us to get into trouble for walking around unsupervised at night. So if you say, Ada, that we can't be, maybe I should ask like this. If you don't, if it would be taking you away from your duties to show us around the building, could we have maybe your permission just to look around it and not touch it, not get close to it or anything, but just to admire it? I heard that there was something very special about the eavesdrops, and I just can't see them from here. And I suppose we could wait till the day, but I just... We've come such a long way, and it's such a disappointment.
And Ada, as she's contemplating that, Titch, if you can make a perception check for me, please.
Ooh. 18.
So... inside, through the door, you hear a very low, almost a humming sound. It sounds like...
that sounds like snoring.
Sounds like a bear snoring, to be precise.
Right near the door, you hear... no. But yes, you hear that rhythmic sound. Ada sort of thinks about it and kind of rubs her chin and says, well, I don't suppose it could probably hurt if you're just outside, just looking from a distance, you understand? But I can't have you do it on your own. So if you want, I'll go as a group. We'll just take one big long circle, a large circle around it. And then I'll bid you on your way and you can head back to the Hobbiton and an open field or wherever you're going, or you can go spend most of your savings at the Golden go get a room at the Golden Plate, and I'll continue my rounds. How about that?
That sounds wonderful, Ada. Thank you so much. You've been such a tremendous help. I appreciate this so much.
It's all right. Think nothing of it. All right. Well, let's be off then. Let's make sure that we keep our distance here. And she literally, almost as if she's like a mime, like feeling for like a barrier, like make sure that she paces out a number of steps away from the house, and then sort of literally almost does this as you're walking around. The house you can see now, as you were kind of looking around it, as I said, it's a two-story structure. However, it does sit on top of a hill. And you notice two things. First of all, the windows, and there are a number of them, but they all appear to be barred. You can see that they're actually shuttered and barred. However, there are two things of interest. One is that there looks like, although you can't tell for certain, what might be a small skylight on the roof. But you would need to get closer to see if that also is barred or not. You can't quite tell, but it is definitely a skylight on the roof of some kind. The other thing is that you can see in the side of the hill on which the museum sits is an old door. Looks considerably older than the actual Mathem House itself. Again, is sort of almost set into the hill on which the building itself sits. Other than that, you see a bunch of windows that are barred, and you see one door, which is the front door, and that older door that I mentioned that's in the side of the hill, and maybe this skylight on the roof.
Actually curious. So what I've been imagining as you've described this is kind of like a standalone building.
Is it
embedded in the hill, like Hobbit holes?
It is not. No, it is standing on top of almost it's more than a hillock. I don't want to understate it, but it's sort of on this gentle rise. It is on top of that gentle rise, but is not embedded. As I mentioned, actually, a lot of Michelle Delving has houses that are more kind of exposed than, than good God-fearing hobbits ought to have in a hobbit hole. There's a few of those, but a lot more of these standalone homes.
Okay, cool. Can Coriander make a perception check? She's particularly curious about the windows. Just the way that Ada talked about the windows made it seem like maybe there was a bit of protesting too much, and she was like squinting at the window.
Sure. Although, what exactly are you trying to see with your check here for the windows?
Well, what exactly did she say? She was like, they're definitely barred. They're definitely locked. Nobody's getting in or out about them. So they look like they are barred at a glance. I'm just wondering if she can squint at them, if there is something unusual about the way that they're barred, if there is something about that that's perhaps more for show than something else.
Let me have you do a perception check then, just to see what you can determine from your vantage point.
Okay.
Since she's keeping you 10 to 15 feet. Yeah. And so Titch kind of sort of stumbles back from the door.
That's a six.
Definitely windows, and you definitely think that there windows. Are you're pretty confident definitely there are bars on them. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. So she does this loop with you.
Did we find the source of the noise?
I think only Titch heard the noise.
Only Titch heard it
because he had his ear pressed against the thing. Let me think what else. While they're doing these rounds, Coriander's going to keep on asking Ada questions about herself and say, like, have you always lived in Michelle Delving? Did you, have you been here? Were you born and raised here?
Oh, close by. I actually was born in Little Delving and made my way over to Michelle Delving, where I thought I could make my way in the world starting as a bounder. I've decided I'm going to pursue a career in law enforcement. Eventually, I hope to rise to the level of sheriff, and maybe someday I too can be like the mayor and the head of the sheriffs and the post office and the message service and Quick Post and also the mayor. But that's down the line. Right now, I'm just sort of building my credentials.
That's very ambitious.
Oh, well, thank you. I try. I didn't just want to be a farmer. Not that I have anything against that mind, but I always thought it was good to have a good solid wooden cudgel in your hand as a method of, persuasion when needed.
Oh, did you make this cudgel yourself? May I see it?
Oh, certainly. Now you'll notice that's good quality, high-level oak there, you know, and starts, giving you all these details about, how the thing is made and shaped and formed and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Titch.
Go ahead, Titch.
Oh.
And then Granny.
Well, Granny's been quiet for a while, so let her go.
While Coriander is keeping Ada busy, Granny would nudge Bolo to Bolo. I'm
saying. I knew it was gonna Bolo happen. I was waiting to see who of us would crack first. Yep. I thought it was gonna be me, but
would nudge Caloran. Boloran, yes, Boloran. Nudge Caloran subtly in the side to walk off, take a look around while Ada is distracted.
Bolo walked, so Caloran.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
Writing that one down.
Is Lavender trying to sneak off with Cal? Or
No. Just because Ada has been barely paying attention to Cal at all, right?
Yeah.
So
I'll.
So he has the best chance to sneak off.
I'll kind of look as if I'm interested in something in another direction, and let the group kind of wander on past me, sort of thing, and see if I'm noticed.
Okay. Let's see. Let me have you make a stealth check for me, please. Let's see if you are noticed.
How stealthy?
Roll very high.
Yeah.
No.
I did not.
Wow, we are rolling so badly.
Let's try to get these out of the way now. Well, it's an opposed roll, so let's see whether or not...
Well, but does she get a...
It's a six.
What's it called?
It's a six.
Like a malice? What's that called again? Like a minus because of being distracted.
Being distracted.
Was this a contested roll? Oh, right, of course. Yeah,
it is a contested roll, and as a consequence, she gets to roll a disadvantage, but I'm here to tell you that she did roll better than a six. so she kind of is looks back and is like, oh, now don't, you got to keep up with the group now. You can't stay down there by yourselves.
This is coming
to an end of this tour anyway. I've got to get back to my rounds, you know. And
so, I'll catch up.
Coriander has continued. She is so genuinely interested in everything about Ada and just likes her so much. And is just what else is she going to ask? Is she going to be, this is perhaps a slightly, may I ask you a slightly forward question?
Sure.
Do you have any family?
Well, sure. There's my dad back in Little Delving. I sent him a little bit of my wages in his direction, and my ma has been gone for a while, so it's just my dad and me and my younger brother. He's a little he's a bit of a scoundrel, he's not a bad fellow, but he gets too much time with the lads at the tavern and not enough time, actually doing some good work. And so my dad always says that I was the one that got all the responsibility in the family. And it's really important,
Because you're the eldest, of course.
If you wish them to continue living, let us into the house.
What?
There's the bear.
There's a bear.
Coriander says, that must be very difficult. It must be very difficult to have such a passion for the law while your kin are have no regard for it. That must be a bit of a tense situation to have when you go home.
Well, it's difficult sometimes, yeah. I mean, you understand sometimes it's important, you know, that we be honest with each other. I mean, that family members don't, you know, pretend to be something they're not, or you know, try to pull one over the wool over one's eyes. It's important to listen to your family, listen to your parents and your grandparents.
Clearly, your father's not a used car salesman.
It's important to do all those things, and so I've tried to set a good example for him. I hope that eventually he can become a bounder too, and you know. The problem is you give him a cudgel and he'd be more likely to, beat up somebody when he got into a fight with him, you know, a drunken fight. So it hasn't been easy. It hasn't been easy. But, you know, we're learning every day. And now that I've got this good job and now that I'm reliable and all that, you know, I feel better about things. And maybe now, you know, I'll get a promotion and all that, as long as, you know, no one ever... As long as that museum is preserved and the Mathem House is kept safe, well, I imagine I'm going to get the credit for that. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have one more question for you, if that's all right, about the museum. One question from me, one from Coriander. Okay. Was there ever a, like, sort of famous feature of Mathem House inside, like, I don't know, like a staircase or a chandelier or something like that?
No, in fact, the
toilet seats cover made of stinging nettle.
Most of the Mathem, most of the sort of museums that the hobbits have, I mean, for a long time, of course, the hobbits didn't even understand the point of having a museum, but it was finally, they were prevailed on to, you know, start showing things off because it could help with occasional touristry and stuff like that, and because it was important to maintain these things. The museum as such was not sort of, it wasn't designed to be a museum from the very beginning, so it's just kind of like a house. There's no particular structure or anything that's unusual about it, other than the fact that it does have, you've heard, a lot inside it, lot of different things. But okay. Yeah.
I was wondering if there's something that, like, she might have heard of as a thing that she could, what she wants to ask is, like, you know, what is the nature of the renovations? Like, what is actually being done? Oh. And I was going to have her ask it in the sense of, like, I've heard that there's this cool thing. They're not going to take that away, are they, essentially?
Right, right, right. And so when you explain that, they say, Ada says, oh, no. What I understand is that they're actually making it more secure. I find this ridiculous myself, but I have heard tell, there are rumors that there might be the possibility of people coming in and, well, stealing something from inside the Mathem House, if you can believe that. And so they're basically trying to make it more secure. Once the renovations are done, they say it'll be impossible to get anything outside of there, even small as a mouse, out of the house, out of the Mathem House, without, permission. So
why would they want to keep a mouse in the museum?
Well, I'm just an expression. I meant not an actual mouse. The point is that they're going to keep it nice and secure. By next week, you'd have a hard time getting a hurricane in there.
But I'm so confused. How could it be more secure than it currently is? With how many bounders are there? I mean, it seems like there must be. Oh, I don't know. 20, 30 of you? I don't know. How many are there?
Well, that's what I say. There's a number of us, and with us, I mean, I can't imagine that there'd be anyone, even if they were inclined to take something from the Mathem House. Getting into the Mathem House, well, I mean, you got all of us looking after it, don't you? I think that it's unnecessary myself, but I think security is already handled, as has been proven, but... unfortunately, others think different, and they think that it needs to be super secure. So once they're done with that, well, it'd be impossible to get anything out of that place. But even as it is, we've got it secure already.
Is this coming from the mayor? Does the mayor want it to be more secure?
Well, you see, the mayor is the head of security services here, and it thinks it's important to set a good example. Also, the postmaster has been talking about increasing security, and
wait,
also the mayor is going to be facing a re-election campaign, and all of them...
Is the mayor also the sheriff?
He's the head of the sheriffs, yeah, yeah. That's right.
Interesting.
So, yeah, they've got a lot to do, basically, and they've made it a priority to make sure that it's secure.
Can you tell me, this is for my own information, so I can't personally imagine it being more secure than it already is with you patrolling it, Ada. You're so very good at your job, but...
Oh, well, thanks.
I mean... There are, we saw, how many bounders have we seen out of a curiosity?
Probably 5 or so. A lot more seem to be on kind of the main roads, but there are definitely at least 3 or 4 that you've seen wandering around or near the Matham house, although not all at the same time. It's not like perimeter guards or whatever, but yeah.
We've seen, so many bounders. I mean, I just don't understand. How many bounders does it take for the mayor to feel like the building is secure?
Well,
I think I've heard this one.
If I'm being perfectly honest, I think that we have plenty enough bounders to preserve the safety of this place, but it's just very important to the mayor and to others, I suppose, that the Matham House not be at risk. Theft, from ne'er-do-wells and ruffians and those types. And so we have a lot of bounders, but, the mayor just wants to be extra sure. But I think that we've got this covered. I mean, like I said, who would go into the house by themselves without leave so they could take something? I can't even imagine any real hobbits who would do something like that.
Calvin?
There's no one by that name here, Titch. Did you mean Calloran?
Are you referring to Calloran?
Yes. And he kind of jams the butt of his spear into the dirt. Like, could you hold that for a second?
Of course.
And okay. So he kneels while this exchange is going on back and forth. He scoots over closer, of course, to have Cal hold his spear, and he kind of glances over at Granny and gives just the slightest kind of jerk in his head, like, come over here, kind of thing. And he kneels down and starts adjusting the straps on his boots to tighten them down and everything, waiting for Granny and Cal to be within close earshot.
Get Granny scoots up.
Coriander will continue to chatter away at Ada. Also, I don't know if it's like, I mean, she's not going to ask again if it's not forthcoming and stuff, but she would quite like to know the number of bounders that there are around there.
Yeah, kind of vague. You hear like 20, 30, maybe 40, maybe 15. Ada seems a little vague on the numbers, but from what you've seen, you would guess at least 15 bounders, cool. But you don't know for sure.
Okay.
And so Titch is just kind of like, there's someone sleeping inside.
If we're, I assume we're like quiet enough, far enough that we won't be overheard.
At the moment, no. You would not be heard.
Yeah, okay. Cal says, didn't we hear something about dogs?
Not a dog snoring.
Dogs snore.
I know, I'm saying that wasn't a dog snoring.
And how do you know?
Because I've had dogs before. I know what they sound like when they snore, and that's not a dog snore.
You have had all the dogs?
Every dog. And I'm not a gate guard. I run a fostering agency.
Can I listen to every single one?
Absolutely.
My given name was Dog Bow. And
what do you suppose it was?
I think there's somebody sleeping in the main room. So going to case the joint, which is what I was trying to enable you to do.
Quick note, by the way, Titch, it is conceivable that it could have been an animal,
Oh, please. But hobbits aren't animals.
Yeah. It could have been.
Dogs aren't dangerous!
Oh, wow, yeah. It's definitely, inside is woundwort. It could have been an animal, but it was kind of echoey a little bit, and so it's hard to get a read on what
clearly
it was.
Clearly, it's a hollow dog.
Single
right?
creature. Yeah, hollow dog. A single creature, though, for sure.
I ain't no hollow back dog.
Oh, wow. I ain't no hollow back dog.
There you go. That's the one. That's the one.
The ding, 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 and about that. That was probably quiet enough. It wouldn't get anyway. Damn, just information.
Duly noted.
Go ahead.
Oh, he just says duly noted. Okay. Good. Yeah, it's good to know.
Yeah, ready. Dots slightly.
And so, right about the point, a pause comes up between. What's her name? And Ada. The Titch, you know, finishes tightening the straps on his boots and stands up and takes his spear back. And it's like, so speaking of all the other bounders, they're over this way, right? And he just starts going. Mm-hmm. And okay. just starts walking off like, you said they were over there. That's where I'm going. And he just takes off.
Okay.
Is it? Just generally away from town? Kind towards of. Town?
Well, back towards where we met her. And hopefully kind of skirting nearer the house than she's comfortable with.
Okay. And she's sort of, yeah, because you're towards the back of the house when this discussion is happening. And so she's like, all right. Well, listen, it might be best if we all go in that direction now, actually. I think you've seen enough of the outside of this house and... it's getting on, and now it is in fact fairly dark outside.
And Titch is like walking along, like looking at the ground, like right where the wall meets the ground, like right. He's like scanning the foundation and everywhere near the place, just.
Granny,
the bounders come.
Perception for me, please, as you're doing it.
Granny is like purposefully trying to fall behind, you know, playing the whole like, oh, I'm old and slow thing, right?
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, Titch, you're just like, there's the wall and there's the ground, and I see.
Well, he's,
that they
he's looking for bear tracks, so it makes sense that he doesn't find it.
He does not find any bear tracks of any kind. And Granny, so you said you're kind of going along behind. Are you also looking at the house though, or no?
Yes.
Okay. So I would have you make a perception check for me too, please.
Oh, hi.
I'm trying.
Stop trying. Start doing.
Oh, yeah. Aha. See? See?
I trust those old eyes.
Exactly. You're pretty confident, Granny, as you go along that indeed... All of these windows do look to be locked and barred, and probably relatively recently. I mean, the bars look like they're pretty sturdy. The only things that are not barred are the front door, the side door, and then that little skylight. And you can see that there are places where the roof dips low enough that theoretically someone could get up onto the roof. Theoretically, it's close enough that there are several spots where that could happen.
So when you say little skylight, how little is it? Like
can't tell from here. You'd need to get up on the roof to see. But it's like, it might be big enough. It would certainly be big enough to allow hobbits through. Me, well, I mean, you'd have to get closer to see. But it's big enough that you can see it from where you are. So presumably, it would be big enough to allow hobbits access. You don't know if Titch could get in that way or not.
But Coriander probably just could.
Winnie the Pooh in the thing.
Exactly. Oh, bother.
I think one last thing that Coriander will be bending conversation towards is to ask Ada what her favorite part of being a bounder is, and say like what do you like about this job? Is there anything that makes it kind of like, I mean, do you have to stay up all night?
Oh, yeah, but we take it in shifts, and we're able to get sleep part of the other time. It means that second breakfast is really second dinner for us, honestly. So it's all kind of a different, you know, different setup. It's not the best. I'd rather have a regular sleep schedule, but I do enjoy the work. I enjoy feeling like I'm helping people, keeping things secure, making sure that no one gets into places where they shouldn't be. It's really great. You get to interact with the people, and it's that. Plus, you know, it's paid, and I can send that back to my dad, so that's always a good thing too.
Ada, you know, before today, I never once gave any thought to the possibility of life as a bounder, but you're just so warm and kind and lovely, and it has just been such a pleasure chatting with you that I'm honestly thinking about this completely alternate way of life. I mean, you must sleep during the day, and you must be awake at night, and I don't know, I've never carried something like a stick so big as that, and... I don't know, you've given me so much to think about, and I'm so grateful to you for showing us around when the museum was shut, and I'm sure it's going to be very lovely when it's open, but I just want to tell you how much I appreciate this, and I appreciate you.
Oh, well, it's my pleasure, and I wish I had all such interactions like this were this pleasant, and when you get a little older, you should apply and be a bounder, where we could use people like you. Like I said, you get your own cudgel, there's decent benefits, multiple meals a day, you know, all those things all paid for, of course, you have the feeling of being close and connected to your community. There's rumors that you might have some sports late at night as they're doing some more bounder outreach, you might say. So they're trying to make that. There's the Bounders Athletic League. It's ball for short. We thought that was pretty clever. So
that's very
all
clever.
Part of that. That's all part of the mix. And so it's worth it. And you should definitely check it out. But now I've got to be on my way. You know, just try not to be caught out, you know, after nightfall too much. People may not understand, and I wouldn't want there to be any kind of misunderstandings. And in a week from now, you know, you can feel free to go into the Mathem House as per normal.
Thank you.
We have to do is wait for 5 years for Coriander to become a bounder. And then
Yeah.
You can search for the bear in the meantime.
Meanwhile, the granny will have died of old age.
Oh no!
Day 150 of bear adventures.
Now, speaking of the bear, where are we at right now?
So you are now at the front, basically, of the
come full circle.
Excellent.
And sort of back towards the road, heading back.
And
the
so Titch stops, and his head snaps up, and his eyes go wide for a second. He's like, "That's it." And he looks at Ada and is like, "You said that these renovations, nothing will be able to get out of there."
"Well, that's what they're intended to do. That's what they told us."
"That's where the bear is." And he makes for the front door.
"Oh, wait, now you can't go in right now. It's locked."
And he just, closed. "That's a likely story." And he goes.
Oh, Ada, I'm so sorry.
And Ada kind of like rushes ahead. "Well, no. Now wait just a minute now. Now, first of all, I don't know if there's a bear in there, but if there was a bear in
there,
that
there's not a bear in there?
I don't know that there is one, but I've never seen a bear inside it. And I have been inside myself. And secondly, it's locked right now and you can't get in there. And so
it's locked. You're trying to keep the bear inside."
"Well,
did Titch actually try to open the door?"
No,
because at this point, like, Ada has kind of like sort of jumped in front, you know, okay. that sort of thing. And it's like, "Now look, now I've been more than generous with you. And you know, you can't just get in there on your own. And
you could take us in."
"No, I'm not allowed to do that. I already told you."
"Then how are you supposed to do your job?"
"I'm supposed to keep people from getting into the place in the first place. I can do
my
job out
here." "Because there's
a
bear in there."
There's no bear in there."
"How do you know?"
"Because the bear would be breaking down the walls and banging against it. Bears don't just stay in one
Thus
place.
Thus the renovations?"
"What? Oh. No. Renovations are not about a bear. Those
you
would
have
be
to
bear
admit,
ovations.
Ada, it's a very
totally
compelling
different.
Story. What if the bear were asleep? What if the bear... Do you know, we recently actually slept in a barn and we helped the owner of the barn get an owl out of there because the owl was hooting and was preventing the lovely donkey that was very precious to the farmer to not getting any sleep. And so we were able to do that. If you're having bear problems, we can probably help.
We don't have any bear problems here. We haven't had a bear in Michelle Delving in who knows how long. We had a wolf problem a couple of years ago, but we took care of that. Now there's nothing to worry about. The Bounders have got this settled.
Now. Statistically speaking, considering that you haven't had a bear here in a long time, does mean that it is more likely that a bear is to show up.
Even if it did, it's not going to show up in the middle of the Matham house. There's been no bear that's gone in there, I tell you.
Has there been a bear in there before?
No. Not that I've ever heard of.
Statistically speaking, that raises the chances of there a bear being in there now.
Granny is very good at math.
What?
And
she has an excellent head for figures.
All of these attempts at distracting this woman so that somebody can sneak off and go and try to break into this place are not fucking working.
Here at the door. I wanted to actually, you know what? Yeah, fair enough. Like, I think I honestly thought we were going to try and open this door. It's unlocked, apparently, but I don't know that. So,
I kind of thought this was like about scooping the place out, and then like once Ada like drops us off at the inn, like then we sneak out during.
Yeah, that's kind of more what I was imagining too. So, I think that Coriander is gonna say, Titch, this is, look, I know the bear is very important to you, but I think that it's best if we just go and have a good rest in the inn and we can start this fresh and maybe we can talk to some of the people in the inn about the bear.
Because that worked so well last time. And he's basically got his spear pointed towards, not towards Ada, but just kind of like near the door. Like he's like any second now it's going to come out, right? And he's right.
Well, would it, wait, okay, hear me out. Titch is very, very good at being a guard. What if, would you like his help to join the Bounders? And maybe he could help to keep, I mean, if, it sounds like he just wants to stay here and make sure the bear doesn't come out. And I feel like if you would humor him about that, it would go a long way towards helping secure Matham House and also maybe just make him feel better. He really needs a win.
Well, I can't, listen, he's got to apply if he wants to be a Bounder. And also, not to put too fine a point on it, but he's too big. I mean, Bounders are obits. They're not men of Bree.
He's a very small man of Bree.
Size doesn't matter.
He is actually like only like 1 foot taller than
right. Yeah. That's true, but they seem to put a very big privilege on the fact that he's not a hobbit. They say right. Like, well, look, here's what I can do. All right, so you come with me just to the front of the stone path here, and kind of, you know, the stone path again like connects the house with the main sort of the main road, maybe 30, 40 feet is the path, and says, you can go to the front here of the path, right? And you can sit here. I'll let the other Bounders know that you're standing there, stopping anyone from coming through to deal with the bear. And he kind of looks at you, Coriander, and does a, she looks at you and does this elaborate, like, you know, like, type of thing.
You're winking the wrong eye, Rocket.
Exactly. Like, which Tinch and everyone else could see easily. Mm-hmm. And then being like, everything will be safe and canny. And I'm sure that the mayor will be happy to hear of the fact that we have someone, you know, guarding things tomorrow morning. So I can do that. And of course, you're not allowed to go down that stone path, mind, or anywhere close. But you could just be by the edge of the stone path. And that would be something I'm sure they'd allow.
That sounds like a wonderful compromise by a very even-tempered and thoughtful hobbit. Thank you, Ada. I don't think you can make any argument against that.
And she seems very satisfied with herself.
Thank you so much, Ada.
That's right. Just follow me out to the path here. And
okay.
She kind of turns and turns, but is clearly looking back at Titch like, now, come on now, like sort of a, you know, like trying to encourage a dog, you know, like come
I figured Titch is just standing there with the spear pointed down and she's like, in front of him, kind of sort of pushing him backwards while he's like looking around, like
very gently,
pushing him back,
very gently. So does this all the way to the end of the stone path until you're all standing there, and then says, and she says, right, well, again, don't forget to stop by the Golden Plate if you want to find some place to stay the night. Otherwise, I'll let the other bounders know that, you know, you've got this path all set. No one's going to get past you. And she kind of, to each of you in turn, Coriander, like, wink. Cal, wink with the other eye. Granny, wink with the other eye. And then when she comes to you,
Titch. Even distribution, yeah.
Yeah, when she comes to Titch, she's like, right, and sort of like awkwardly salutes in your direction. And then, all right then, well, have a good night and don't get in trouble. 3 o'clock, it all's well. And wanders off and she's like, oh no, it's not the time, is it? It's not that late. Never mind, I meant 8 o'clock and all's well. And wanders off.
They're similar shapes, 8 and 3.
Leaving the four of you standing there. And even from where you are, you can see bobbing, sort of the bobbing light of her torch, but also several of lantern, but several others. There's no one right on top of you. You can see that there are some distance down the road, but they seem to be on kind of regular patrols.
So as she's still within earshot, but, you know, Titch basically, I really want to thank you all for helping me. It's been wonderful to meet all of you and get to know. Have a good stay at the inn.
Thank you. We'll bring you something nice tomorrow.
Thank you.